today may be one of the more unique Sunday mornings as it concerns me. I know this is only my fifth Sunday morning here, but this is, I don't know how many times we'll have this combination in the building on one Sunday. Pretty much every human being that had a significant role in me standing on this platform is actually with us. And it's kind of concentrated in four families. And maybe it greatest and most intensely, my children and my wife are here. And so if you've not met Susie, you are definitely missing the better half of this group here. But Susie showed me Jesus the lover. She loved me when I didn't deserve it. And she showed me Jesus the lover. Behind her is a really great friend of ours, Judy Ennis. And maybe she's been here a couple of weeks when we've been here. But Judy is the Jesus the friend. She is really Jesus the helper. She's helped us so many ways to make Williamsport a home for us. And she is, we kind of carried her from Brook Hills. And she was our right-hand lady of Brook Hills. And why Brook Hills is such an awesome church, humanly speaking, has a lot to do with Judy's leadership. She was on staff with me at Brook Hills. And so we're grateful, Judy, for you being here. Jesus the friend is the guy sitting behind Superintendent Mack. Tim Mabry and his wife Lisa, is that, you know, when that person that knows everything about you and still loves you, that's Tim Mabry. There isn't a secret in my life that he doesn't know. And he's my best friend. He was the one that helped me get into ministry in a full-time way. He and I have this conversation all the time. He doesn't need me to tell him in a public setting what he means to me, because we've had hours and hours. And so to have him with me here today is an amazing thing. And not only just as a friend, but Titusville Free Methodist Church, where he's the senior pastor, is standing with Northway Community Church in a very significant way, prayerfully, financially. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks and months. But having Pastor Tim here, leaving his congregation to be with us this morning, is a special treat for me. And so I'm grateful for the Mabrys being here. Love you dearly, dearly. I tell Pastor Tim all the time, if I keep talking, I'm going to cry. So I'm going to stop right there. And then to have Vicky and Superintendent Mack with us is just a special treat. You may have met Mack before, but humanly speaking, the reason why I'm the pastor at this church is because Mack was gentle with me. And he shared with me something that he could see that I couldn't see yet. He sees something for Northway that I didn't see because I didn't know you. And I want you to know something that I know for sure. Superintendent Macaluso loves Northway Community Church. And he believes that God has great days ahead for this church. And so when he talked about maybe coming one of these Sundays early on, I just wanted the first Sunday available for him to come and be with us and for you to hear his heart. And I'm grateful for you being here. Thank you for everything you've done to help me become the pastor here. Vicky, thank you for letting us talk on the phone so much and probably taking up family time. But I want to just have a special word of prayer for Superintendent Mack as he comes to share with us this morning. And I just pray that God opens our hearts, because I believe God has a word for us today through Superintendent. And I want to just pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We pray an anointing. We don't pray it for him, Lord. We just pray that it's released in him, Lord. It's already present. But, Lord, I pray that that anointing that rests upon our leader, I pray, God, that it is released in a powerful way. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see Jesus and not the superintendent. Allow us to hear Jesus and not the superintendent. Allow your servant to give the word that you placed upon his heart that came from the throne room of heaven. And we pray we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I really want to talk directly to the hearts and souls and minds of the regular attenders. And for those of you that aren't usually here, it's good. especially if you're considering, you know, what is NCC all about? Maybe you're here just kicking the tires, or maybe you're kind of exploring the claims of Christ. It's a great place for you to be. And so as I reflect this morning, I just encourage you to, this is going to tell you a whole lot about where I believe Northway Community Church is heading. And so a couple of months ago as a conference, so this church is part of a group of churches in the Free Methodist denomination, and the Lord has tagged me to oversee the vision and the work of us as a group of churches to advance the kingdom of God in Pennsylvania and beyond. Okay, and so when we appoint pastors to churches, we appoint them really to the community, to serve the community, to advance the kingdom of God in that community. And the idea is that as a conference of churches, that there is a church here, and there's a church here, and there's a church here. And as this church reaches its community for Christ, and communities are changed because the love of Christ is poured out in that community in very practical ways, more churches grow, and the kingdom of God is advanced throughout not just this little place over here, over here, over here, but throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. And that's our goal. And so we had a meeting, a day and a half worth of meeting a couple months ago. And as a conference, we've been working through this challenge of going to prayer with some of the verses in Philippians 4 in mind. And we centered in on the challenge of verse 7 in Philippians 4. It says this: "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And as we digested this, we acknowledged that God's peace isn't like the world's peace. It's not found in our own strength. It's not found in what we've done. It's not found in our own abilities. It comes from this absolute awareness that if we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's in control, and we have heard from Him, and we make a decision about what we're going to do about it, that peace gives us a presence. It says it'll guard your hearts and minds. This guarding is this idea that it doesn't matter that everything's perfect, because this side of heaven, nothing's perfect, right? It doesn't mean there isn't going to be problems, because does anybody here have problems? No one has problems. Pastor, this is a wonderful... Come on, does anyone here have problems? Yeah, we all have problems, right? It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be conflict. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be stress. But God's in control. And it gives those of us as we lead, and those of us as we follow, and our churches, and this sense of the Lord's about this. So I have this awareness that gives me this peace in the midst of all that stuff. That's what this guarding of the heart is all about. This portion states that the peace of God given to us will astonish people. It will literally guard us. It guards our hearts and our minds. Wow, that's heavier than I thought it was going to be. This sense of confidence that because we've heard from the Lord, and we're not worried. And even if we are, there's a commitment to the cause because of this calling from the Lord. Jesus made a statement that most churchgoers have heard or read. It goes like this. It comes out of John 4:35. It's a statement. It says, "Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest." And then Jesus says this. He looked at a group of people, maybe similar to us right here. Some people were trying to figure out who God was and what should be done and what they're learning and all kinds of stuff. And he looked at them and he said something. He said this. He says, "I tell you," Gospel according to Mark, okay? "I tell you the truth. I tell you what you need to hear. Look, open your eyes. The harvest is ripe. The fields are ripe, ready for harvest now." When I read that verse again this week with fresh eyes. How many of you have heard that verse before? How many of you heard better sermons than this one's going to be about that verse? I mean, how many of you heard a sermon about that verse before? Have you ever heard someone preach a sermon on that verse? Okay? All right. This is going to be an interactive Sunday, okay? I have too, but when I preached on this message and when I've looked at it before, I always look to the tail end of it, right? You know, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. But I read that with fresh eyes this week, and I was like, it's like this, it's, you know, we know it's a challenge, but it's more than a challenge. It's almost a rebuke. It's like, so you have this saying, we have 4 months. We had all kinds of time. The harvest is coming, and we know it's coming. And Jesus is saying, no, the harvest is here. In fact, if you look at the portion of Scripture before this, it's that portion of Scripture where Jesus is saying, you're talking about food. The food, my food, is to do the will of God. In fact, the portion before this says, and complete my work. In other words, and we talk about this a lot in church, and there's all kinds of things we need as a church, right? I got to tell you something. To be a pastor, there's an incredible amount of pressure on a pastor because those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want to study the Word, and we need to, and we want to get together, and we want to be caring for each other inside, but as a community of believers, we also need to be reaching the lost. And I've heard this over and over and over again, and I got to tell you something. You're going to hear some great preaching from Pastor Bryce. And those of you who are Christians in this place, you are going to grow in your relationship with Christ. And here's something I know for a fact. That you will be challenged. You will be encouraged. You will be supported to help for people who don't yet know Jesus to find Jesus. I know that for a fact. And I want you to remember this. That's the food. My food, he says, is to do the will of God, to finish the work. I think when Jesus is saying this, he's saying, you're saying there's all kinds of time, and you're wrong. The time is now. Look around you. And so today, I'm going to take some time. And I want us to call us together to hear from the Lord, to see with spiritual eyes and to corporately have a vision that will guard our hearts and minds as we advance the kingdom of God in Williamsport and beyond. A boldness that comes from humble, full surrender and sacrifice. Not what we are or who we are or what we do. And Pastor talked about this so eloquently this morning. We begin to minister to our community and the people in our community with the genuine love of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what that looks like. It's not this preconceived idea of what we do for people and how it's going to affect us. See, sometimes we get involved in church stuff and you know, we have this concern about finances and we have this concern about facility and we have this concern about what we want to have happen. But when we really minister to our community and to the people in our community without a preconceived idea of how they will respond, we see what we do as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, as a worker in the field, differently. For some of us who have been a part of church for a long time, this is a scary thought, so can I break it out for a minute? Because I want us to get this. Without a preconceived idea of how people are going to respond, without a preconceived idea of whether our church is going to grow or not, we see church growth as maybe a possible byproduct, not the main goal of being a conduit of God's love. We touch people. We meet people where they need to be met. We help for people to see the love of Jesus Christ, and we let God decide what's going to happen in the church. Now, let me tell you something. When we do that, we see some amazing things happen. And our churches become, you know, not just flashlights, but lighthouses. But that's not the goal. The goal is to care for people in your family, in your community, where you live, where you work, to be able to understand what life in Christ is and how it frees them from some of the stuff that we were just saying about. We connect for people and care for people because we care for them. There's a difference. Not because we need something from them or expect something from them. We know that the God who has cared for us loves everyone in this community just like he loves us. And we're not afraid of the stuff that comes our way. It's that peace that transcends all understanding, right? In fact, when we've corporately heard from the Lord, here's the only thing I'm afraid of. The Lord, I know that I know that I know that the Lord is going to use this church, use some of you in miraculous ways. And a year from now, we're going to have a celebration of what God's done and how we've been able to be a part of it. I'm not afraid of that. In fact, when we've corporately heard from the Lord, we're not afraid of anything but settling. Settling for something that's not unique. Some of you have been part of, and there's some wonderful things that have happened in this church in the past, and I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about where we're moving forward. And some of you have been a part of churches, large and small, that have been engaging and reaching the lost, and people enjoy being in your church, being in church on Sunday, and your friends enjoy coming, and it's a wonderful thing. But when you have seen a church that's reaching the lost, and people in the church are excited to be there and want to bring their friends, and they're growing in their faith, and something, there's just something special about that kind of health in a church. I hope you've been able to be a part of a church where that happens. I want to tell you something. When you're part of a church that's obviously healthy, you don't want to settle for anything else. You just don't. Early on in discussions regarding a new pastoral appointment here at NCC, I heard someone say, anything else is counterfeit once you've seen the real thing. Just chew on that for a minute. Anything else is counterfeit than a church that's engaging its community. A church where people are growing in their relationship with God this way. And growing in their ability to help people in their families and in their communities and where they work. Anything else is counterfeit but that. Early in discussions, I heard someone use that phrase. Anything else is counterfeit unless you have seen the real thing. Once you have seen the real thing. You know who that person is? It's your new pastor. Anything else is counterfeit. Why even hold the counterfeit? It's worthless. Why would you do that? I want to go to an account in Scripture. If you have a Bible, Luke 18, beginning with verse 35. And if you just hang out there, we're going to kind of go through this account. It's this really cool account. Sometimes we just walk right over it. I know I have for years, and I just find this account. There's a few principles I want to give us here. Because I want those of you that are regular attenders, and even those of you that are here for the first time, I want you to do a little processing. I want you to think through, what's the Lord calling me to do? And where you are in terms of commitment for this church reaching its community for Christ. What the Lord's calling you to do. And so I'm going to give us, basically just three little thoughts as we go through here that I think are really important that will maybe help for us to together come together on this kind of new beginning for us and for your pastor as you move forward. Luke 18, beginning with verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd was going by, he asked, "What's happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The account says, and I think it's the old NIV here. Excuse me. Those who led the way, in other words, the people who were at the front of the crowd with Jesus, rebuked the blind man. They told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought before him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," Barnabas replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his vision and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. I'd encourage you, if you have a Bible or a way to read the Bible, you know, on your phone or whatever, just leave it open to that. We're going to reflect back on this. Helen Keller, the famous philanthropist who was blind from birth and deaf also, she was once asked, someone asked her, isn't it a great tragedy to be born blind? Thank you. Thanks. Someone asked Helen Keller once, isn't it terrible to be born blind? And she made this famous reply, it's a greater tragedy to have eyes and not see. Isn't that true? I want to encourage us to have eyes to see this morning and to decide about what the Lord wants you to do about the fields that are ripe for harvest. A lot of people can see physically, but they have no vision. I know this. I know God doesn't want us to just endure life as individuals. I know God doesn't want us just to endure life as a family. I know God doesn't want us just to be battling stress all our life as business people in your professions. I know God has more in store for us this side of heaven as a church than that. I'm certain he doesn't want any of us to be long time discouraged and just kind of go through life with, go with the flow through life. But here's what I truly believe. It all depends on vision. What we're committed to. What we've heard from the Lord about. What we have this sense that I know God has called me to be a part of this. And he's giving me this peace that no one else can understand. And that's okay. Because it's to me. I think Bartimaeus is a model for us. So I want to just throw out three things for us to chew on. Three principles maybe that I'd encourage us to embrace both personally and as a church. Here's the first one. It's simply this. Believe. Believe that God can do something else. Some wonderful things have happened in this church for a long period of time. Pastor Chuck, how just take a shot. How long has this church been here? You probably know, right? Well, but it was started somewhere else and came here. So the work of this church is I'm glad to be able to say it's older than me. Just barely, but older than me. do you ever feel like that? Oh man, you start adding up a lot of great stuff has happened through the years, but this is a next step for us. And God can do something new. It's like this hope step. Every time you take a step, every time you're looking toward being a part of something, you got to know, is there hope there? Is there a reason to be a part of that? And I look at Bartimaeus, verse 35. Someone have their Bible open? Who has their Bible open to Luke? Gary, would you read verse, I think it's verse 35. Could you read that for us? Okay, keep going. One more, I'm sorry. See, I don't know what I'm talking about here. One more. Give us one more. You just read the whole port. No, I'm just kidding. And then what did he do? All right, go there with me, would you? You got it? Jesus is walking by. People are saying, no, be quiet, shut up, right? You're annoying. You're just you. You're a poor beggar. I mean, they're begging. He's a beggar. He's impoverished, right? In fact, they were probably traditionally at the front of a city, there'd be many beggars because that's all they could do to make their way. That's where the beggars would go, right? They were impoverished and they just looked for someone to have mercy on them, right? So it's not just him sitting there. It's not just him there. There's a bunch of them. But Bart, just picture this. He's sitting there. He's got his cloak on, it says, some kind of a wrap around him. And he can't see. And Jesus is walking by. And someone says, Jesus is coming. Jesus! Over here! And the religious people, the important people, the ones up front are saying, shut up, Bart. It's just Bart. We all know Bart. He's the blind dude that's always up there begging for something. I'm not saying Bart was the greatest guy in the world, but you know, maybe there was things that people didn't like about him other than that he was blind and begging. Probably dirty, maybe smell a little bit. Stop! I mean, Jesus is important. There's an important person here that we don't want to embarrass. He's kind of embarrassed, right? And Bart's like, there's my hope right there. I will not shut up. It's like this incredible sense of confidence where he says to himself, I don't care what people say. When I first read this, I thought, wow, this is like a cry of desperation. This is like a dude that, you know, he's got nothing to lose. So, you know, he's crying out, right? I look at this with fresh eyes. I don't think this is a cry of desperation. Get this. I think it's a cry of hope. I think he's been sitting there for so long and he says, that's the answer right there. I don't care. My friends, I'm sure there's this little community and someone's elbowing him saying, Bart, enough. He's not coming. And Bart's like, no, Jesus, he just keeps it up. If you read the account, he ain't going to quit. Jesus, here I am. My answer's just a few feet away and I'm not going to miss it. It all begins with hope, folks. Unfortunately, I think there's a nugget in here for us. I think the reason a lot of times we feel desperate and we lose hope is because we put it in the wrong source. I've done that. Let's be honest. Have you ever put your hope in the wrong source? There's only one source that gives us hope. I mean, don't ever put your hope in something that can be taken away from you. I've realized that. You probably have too. Hope must be in Christ alone because only He can meet all your needs. Only Jesus can meet the needs of the people in this community that are struggling without Him. And everyone in this community is not struggling without Him. But there's more that are that aren't. Would you agree? Let me just ask an honest question. Show of hands, okay? Church, how many of you have friends, family members, colleagues, people that you work with, people that you go to school with, that have put their hope in the wrong place and they're struggling because of it? Get this. Williamsport. What did John say? John 4:35, what's it say? Open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. The field in Williamsport is already ripe. God is calling NCC to make a difference. Verse just before this, when Jesus sets the stage for this verse, Jesus is saying, I'm calling you as a worker. Do. Be a part of doing, completing the work. There's only one source of hope. It's not the internet or any person or any trick or any therapy or any fancy thing that we would even do here in the church. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, God paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Jesus. In other words, He prayed for our salvation. He prayed for the salvation of those that we work with and live with. And He says, because of this, you can trust. Your trust can be in God who raised Christ from the dead. That's a pretty big thing. Now faith and hope can rest in Him alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. The fields in this town, really any town, are ripe for harvest. People need the hope that this church is called to give. So one key to productive vision is to do what Bartimaeus did. Believe that Jesus Christ can change the situation. First step is believing. Second step I just throw at us is ignoring. There's some things you got to believe and there's some things you got to ignore if you're going to make a commitment. And I think you got to ignore negative voices that are around you. Every time there's something special that happens this side of heaven, there will be people that say this is a good thing. Have you ever been in a business meeting? You ever been someplace where there's a vote? There will be some people that say this is a really good thing. And then there'll be some people that say, ooh, I don't know about this. There always is. There always is. I mean, it depends where you're at. But, you know, I don't even know who's right or wrong. It depends on what's going on. But there's always this. Have you ever noticed there's kind of a wave if people start. You ever been to a town meeting? And someone will say, you know, well, we're proposing putting this building over here, you know. And someone will say, I think this is a great thing. It'll spur the economy. And it's kind of like there's this thing going on in the room, right? You know what I'm talking about? And people are like, ooh, yeah, yeah. And then someone else will stand up and they'll say, yeah, but you know, it changes what our community looks like. And I think that's a terrible thing. And it's almost like there's this wave, right? And someone will say, oh, yeah, that's true, too. And, you know, you can go back and forth and back and forth. You got to figure out what God's calling you to do. You got to figure out what you believe is right. That's a really, really important thing for us. When we make a commitment to who we are and what we do. And even when you've committed, there are going to be negative voices around you. And we have to know that the Lord will guard our hearts and minds, and it's to Him alone we want to answer. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? We need to know. It's happened all the way through, I mean, life, right? You see it all the time in the Bible. Remember Moses and the children of Israel? How many of you remember that account? So, you know, a lot of you study the Bible, right? You know, in the key, some key times there, right? Remember in the account of crossing the Jordan River? 12 leaders chimed in and said, no, don't cross. Because what if we cross and it doesn't work, blah, 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 right? And then two said, yeah, let's go. Right? Some of you Bible people, right? Study the Bible. What are the names of the people that said go? What is it? Joshua and Caleb, right? Remember those people, right? Here's an interesting question. Tracking with you? Who are the names of the people that said go? You know your Bible pretty well, right, Gary? I think you do. What are the names of the people that said no? There's some Bible people here. What are the names of the people that said no? Come on. You know the names of the people that said no? I don't either. In fact, I can't even pronounce most of them. But even if I could, I wouldn't remember them. I just share that with us because the Lord is about to do something really cool through NCC. And the Lord is calling a mess of people to be a part of what's going to happen here at NCC. And I just want you to know, if God calls you, there's going to be some people somewhere, maybe in your family or, you know, people, I don't know, maybe even, I don't know, but there's going to be some people say, no, let's, you know, let's don't let church really be out there. And I just want you to know, allow the Lord to guard your heart and his mind, hearts and minds. And expect that that's going to happen and be okay with that, right? Because there are always naysayers, right? And there are some people that it's just their personality, it's who they are. I don't know, maybe it's the way the Lord's called them. That's okay too. Don't worry about what the Lord's calling them to do. Get really pumped up about what the Lord's calling you to do. I mean, I just don't get confused in this. Quite honestly, there are some people in my life, people in my family, some people that don't know Jesus, some people that do and just don't really get what I do. And that's okay, because I get what the Lord's calling me to do. It's okay. There are some people that, you know, in my family, I just tell you about my family, there are some people in my family that are like, just settle for what it is, you know. Some people don't live with that kind of vision. Some people, especially people you're close to, those of you that have a relationship with Christ here, when you first found Jesus, right, when you first said, Lord, I commit my life to you, I'm guessing there were some people that didn't get that. Is that true? Was that true in your life? Is that true in your life, right? There are some people that don't want you to do something that they don't do because they're close to you, right? They don't want you to have a dream that's different than their dream because, you know, you're close. And I encourage you to think about Bart sitting there with all these other people. And he said, I'm going to ignore the people trying to hold me back. You know, I struggled with this early on. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My wife did, which has been wonderful for me. Actually, I think, say the right thing, okay? But, like, it's been good. I mean, you grew up in a family that had a great Christian heritage and legacy. Me, not so much. I grew up in the inner city of Buffalo and just a whole different kind of deal. But it's been good for us, right? I mean, just you seeing things from the other side and me seeing, you know, just great stuff and how to raise a family and all that kind of stuff, right? No, I mean that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, where you come from teaches you all kinds of things about different cultures and ways of living and all that kind of stuff, right? For me, as I look back in my life, I've struggled a lot with the approval of others, right? I've learned a few things. I just want to throw this at you. Here's one of the first things I learned is I cannot please God and everyone else at the same time. I choose God. I choose what God's calling me to. What other people choose is up to them, and I love them and respect them and trust that they will do the same thing for me. So we got to decide who we're going to live for, the audience of our peers or the audience of the one. Bart chooses the audience of the one. Bart knows if he starts shouting out, it's not going to be a popular thing to do. And the Bible says in verse 39, those who led the way, the beginning of the crowd, they rebuked him. They said, shut up. And I think that could have easily positioned Bart to be really afraid. Okay, if I don't get to Jesus here, if I pursue this, I mean, I don't think he really processed it much. I think it was just an emotional thing. But I think it could have easily gone through Bart's mind, if I don't get to Jesus, there's going to be trouble tomorrow morning when I come out here at the gate. These people aren't going to want to sit with me, and I don't like sitting here alone. When I get, it's one of the things I've wrestled with in my life. When people aren't like praising, clapping, I get a little afraid of failure. And I just got to tell you, there's a lot of insecurity inside me, and I don't want to fail, man. That's one of the pressures, I think, of that, when I'm worried about the disapproval of others. Here's another thing I've discovered about fearing what other people think. So I'm not an arrogant dude, right? But maybe it's insecurity, right? But I finally realized, you probably are smart enough that you realized this a long time ago, but people don't think about me that much. I mean, I've been worried about stuff. You know, what is this person going to think? What's my friend going to think? What's my family going to think? In the situation I'm in right now, you know, what are pastors going to think? Or what are other superintendents going to think? Or other leaders, and what are they going to think? And you know what I realize? They don't think about me. They're not sitting home. I mean, like, you know, I'll pick on Pastor for just a second. I guarantee you, none of you this week were thinking about, hey, I wonder what Pastor Bryce is having for breakfast this morning. Right? Anybody? Can I tell you a story? I just reminded me of this thing. So this drives this home for me. When I first started doing leadership in the Free Methodist Church, it means you travel a lot, right? And so I was sitting in this diner in a small town, right? Very small town. I think it was in Pennsylvania, but I don't even remember. I like diners. You like diners? I love diners. You can get good food, good breakfast. Anyway, so I'm at this diner. I love breakfast. I get up early, so a diner's open. And so I'm sitting at this diner, and usually when I go, I'll take my Bible, and I'll sit at the counter if there's a counter, because, you know, you just get, you know, people aren't looking at you like, why are you here alone, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm reading my Bible, and I ordered, you know, kind of thing I always order, and I'm sitting there, and then this dude walks in. It was a big guy, you know, like a big guy. And, you know, he's kind of dressed kind of rough, and, you know, I didn't really care what he was wearing, I could tell. And he walked over to a table and he sat down, right? Like way over here. And I'm over there at the counter. And I just noticed him. So, you know, I'm doing this thing that I do, and I said a little prayer for him because I didn't know him. And I'm reading my Bible, you know, and trying to get a word from the Lord from the day. And I look up from my Bible, and he's staring right at me. And it was creepy, right? And so I just kept reading my Bible a little bit, and I prayed again for him, and then I prayed for me because he was a big guy, right? So I looked up again, and he's doing this, squinting at me. From like, you know, the other side of the diner. Did I mention he's a big guy? So finally, I'm starting to get a little, you know, freaked out a little bit about it, right? I mean, my eggs were cold, and I never let my eggs get cold. And all of a sudden, this guy does this. Check this out, right? So he gets up from his table. Big guy. Right? He gets up from his table. He starts walking right toward me. And I'm like, oh, man, what, you can't read a Bible in this town? What's the deal? He walks up toward me like this. Then he looks past me. There's a wall right there. Ham and eggs. Walks away. I'm like, what in the world is this all about? And I look over and there's a chalkboard with the daily specials right there. He didn't care a deal about me. He probably didn't even see me, right? He just wanted to get a good breakfast, right? I just think, you know, it's comical, but I think we'd worry a whole lot less about what people think of us if we realized how much they do. And sometimes we assume. I do that a lot. Bartimaeus says, I don't care what the crowd thinks. I'm going after Jesus. We sang a song, I think it was by Elevation Worship this morning, right? Elevation Worship has this other song. It's not real popular, but it has this lyric. I was just listening to it this morning when I took my walk. It says this: the soul wants what the soul wants. I think there's depth there. Me and Jesus, the soul knows what it wants. The heart knows what it wants. I'm so thankful that's true. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And I think in this day, in this time, in this community, in this church, we ought to embrace that. The soul knows what the soul wants. I'm sorry, it's not Elevation Worship. It's Need to Breathe. It's Need to Breathe. Before we're done here, I think you know I'm challenging you. I'm encouraging you. I challenge you not to disappoint your soul because of what someone else thinks. But when you've heard from the Lord, I know that some of the greatest fears is the fear of disapproval of other people, fear of failure. But when you've heard from the Lord, that doesn't matter at all. My key peace comes from the Lord. I trust in Him alone. I know what God's called us to do. So let's let God do it. Let's believe that God can do something. Let's make our plans large. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask and imagine. So let's make our plans large, would you? I challenge you to do that. John 4:35. Read it with me, would you? Don't you have a saying? Come on. It's still. I tell you. Open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Amen. The fields in Williamport community are ripe for harvest. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God in Williamsport, we need to be a body of believers that have each individually heard from the Lord. I want to challenge you to ask the Lord. Hear from Him. We need to truly believe that Jesus can change this community. You've got to ignore the negative voices. And then finally, here's the last one, folks. Listen for God's voice calling you. Decide what you're going to do about it. I mean, that's just the deal. And so, as much as I can, As a superintendent, I've decided, because that's my job, right? I mean, that's my responsibility. I've decided what the Williamsport Church needs to do. Does that mean it'll happen? No. And that's why when I started this, I said I wanted to talk to the body of believers here. I'm here to talk to the church. Now, the church is the body of believers. It's not this building. And the mission of the church is to this body of believers, but it's also to this community that this church exists to serve. You're tracking with me? There's a both and here, right? So I came here this morning to talk to the church, individuals that God's called to be a part of this church. There's no switch here. There's no what do you call that when you sell something and it's not really what you're selling? What's it called? There's no bait and switch here. I just want you to hear from me. I know that I know that I know that's what the Lord has called our conference to do, which means that's what the Lord has called our churches to do. That means that that's what the Lord has called our pastors to lead to and called our members to be a part of. But it only happens if you've heard from the Lord individually and then decided, what am I going to do about it? Verse 40, 39. Somebody got, who has their Bible open? Somebody? Anybody got a Bible? Well, somebody else can read the Bible, right? Is that 39? You are amazing. I can't remember your name now. What's your name? Melanie. Thank you, Melanie. Melanie has our Bible open. Let's read this. Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. Get this one now. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought for him. Stop. This person is calling. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me vision. And what does Jesus do? Some versions say Jesus called him. Jesus says, go call that man. Jesus called him up. People around him, it's interesting, people around him, now we're all with him, right? The people who say shut up before are like, hey, I'm your friend, right? You know, when you go up there, read the account of what it says. They say, hey, cheer up, man. Yeah, I was here for you. I didn't say anything, but you got to get on your feet. He's calling you. If you got your Bible open and you sense that the Lord's talking to you, maybe you should circle he's calling you. When Jesus calls, we get up. In fact, look at how we got up. This is amazing. The next section says this. Throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I love this. Here's this poor beggar. Just go there with me for a minute. All right, a couple minutes, okay? He's sitting there. He's begging. He has no hope. Jesus walks by. Jesus calls him. He's blind. He's poor. I'm sure he smells. I'm just telling you. Just picture this person. He's poor. He maybe the only thing he has to wear, he's wearing. And it says he jumps up. I can't even jump up, right? How does a blind person jump up? Maybe some of you here are sight impaired in some way. But I got to tell you, I just can't imagine. And it says he just jumped. He got to his feet as fast as he could. I'm trying to imagine him trying to get to Jesus. Maybe someone came over to him. Maybe there was, you know, someone else there that helped him. But it's I kind of see this as saying, Jesus is calling. It's like that phrase, I think it's a military phrase, you know. When someone says jump, you say yes, sir, you know, on the way up or something like that. You ever heard that phrase? How high? On the way up, right? Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's Bartimaeus saying, yes, sir, yes. And I can see him going, okay, Jesus, where are you? Man, I can't even do that. But can you imagine? You know what I'm saying? There's this excitement that Jesus has called me. The Lord is going to call a mess of people from this church. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to believe. If the Lord calls you, God's going to do something special in Williamsport. A year from now, can we have a celebration a year from now, Pastor? There's going to be some people. So you got to believe. There's going to be some stuff that you're going to have to ignore. I'm going to ask you this morning to begin to listen if God's calling you. And if He is, I want to encourage you. as your superintendent, and I know you probably don't even know me, but as a superintendent of this conference, of this church, of this pastor, of this body of believers, I encourage you to jump. Don't hold back. I get this. Everybody's called by God. We're all called to know Him. We're all called to love Him. We're all called to serve and share in His love with everybody else. We're all called to be saved by Him. We're all called to be forgiven by Him. The only question is, do we answer the call? Do we pick up the phone? When we set the phone down, do we move forward with great enthusiasm? Get this. Some people are called to do real estate. Some people are called to teach preschoolers. Some people are called to drive a truck. Some people are called to, you know, to work in a factory. Some people are called to work in a medical center. Some people are called to work in a bank, or, you know, some people are called to run an office. God intentionally called us to do different things so everything in the world could get done, because if He called all of us to be pastors, there'd be a lot that never got done, right? But we're all called to serve Him and share His love with everybody else. Jesus stopped and He said, call him. He jumps up. Did you notice? He left His cloak. It's interesting sometimes what the Bible records. Read the account. It says He left His cloak. I'm guessing that Bart carried that cloak around. I don't even know for sure what a cloak is. I can't envision something that goes around you, keeps you warm at night maybe. I'm guessing he had carried that for years. But he said, this is what I was, but something new is going to happen, and I'm not so concerned about this. I want this. I'm just asking those of you who are members of this church that God calls to this mission, don't hold back. When you've heard from the Lord, you see the counterfeit for what it really is. The soul wants what the soul wants. When you've heard from the Lord, there's a confidence that comes from the Lord through all of what we see. It doesn't matter what we see. Through all of the problems, Pastor, through all of the difficulties, through all of the challenges, when we've heard from the Lord, and you've heard from the Lord, when we've heard from the Lord, all that stuff steps aside because we go eye to eye with Jesus and we don't look at the stuff. When you've heard from the Lord, you don't step to the pulpit because you have to say something. You step to the pulpit because you have something to say. There's a difference, isn't there, church? Church, when you've heard from the Lord, we approach everything in ministry boldly, with confidence, trusting in Him, knowing that there are more with us than against us. I want to tell you about your conference being with you. Our conference doesn't have a lot of dough. In fact, quite honestly, we're a very poor conference. But the Lord's given us a vision, and we know that we know that we know. We've heard from the Lord. So we're not looking at what we don't have. We're trusting the Lord for what He's called us for. That puts us as a conference. Listen, that puts us as your conference, if you're a member of this church, the conference you're a part of is a rich conference, not with money, but with hope and trust and vision. And that's a really healthy place for a conference of churches to be. God's doing something really special in what we call the Keystone Conference. Your conference has scraped, has stripped what has already been stripped several times to say, we want to be part of a vision now, you know, standing on the shoulders of what was, for what we know God has called us to do in this community. So as a conference, we've stripped everything we could from our budget to help with this new venture moving forward. Several churches in our conference have answered the call, a challenge. How long ago was the annual conference? 2 months or something? No. I said, would you be a part of this? Poor churches. Not all of them poor, but most of them have said, we're in. We're gonna send some money to the conference office, and they're going to push it on to Williamsport Church, Northway Community Church. A couple of churches have said, we've really heard from the Lord. Titusville Free Methodist Church in Titusville. Our pastor's here this morning. Thank you for being here, by the way. Thank you for leading so well in Titusville, the ministry that's going on there. And for hearing from the Lord and boldly saying, yeah, we're big time now. We've heard. A lot of people have heard. Individuals have heard. I talked to someone a week ago that doesn't even live in Pennsylvania. They wrote a check for what's about to happen in Williamsport. We're just doing something. A lot of people have heard. The question is, have you heard? We're not in control. We're just hanging on for what the Lord has. Congregation, when we hear from the Lord, we assume that God will do something special right where we are with what we have. When we hear from the Lord, we see people through the eyes of Jesus, and we care more than other people think wise. Tracking with me? Some people are going to say, well, no, it's not wise to touch those people over there. Or those people over there, you know, they have a church and all kinds of things. Other people say, no, aren't you caring a little bit too much about the community? I mean, we just put that carpet in and someone spilled coffee on it. And I'd kind of like to be the first one to spill the coffee in the carpet. Not that I don't care about your church. I do. But I know it's not about the carpet or the color of the walls or the whatever. It's good. I mean, I want us to have great facilities, but don't forget what facility means. It's to facilitate something. And I know I'm probably, some of you, it's like I'm preaching to the choir. I know, but I just want you to hear from me, okay? I'm almost done. We care more than people think wise. We reach out to this community, congregation, without a preconceived idea of how they're going to receive us. We care for the needs of people in this community, not because we need something for them. We give to them without this preconceived idea of what it will someday mean to us or not. We do it because God called us to do it. That's what I want this church to do. All the other stuff is a possible byproduct, not the main goal of being a conduit of God's love. The fields in Williamsport are ripe for harvest. Open your eyes. I took a walk downtown. We stayed, I've been here a handful of times. We stayed at a different place last night downtown. Last time I was here, I stayed at a hotel up on the strip. What's that strip called up there? Golden Strip, yeah. And in the morning, I get up early, and the Lord just stirred me. This was months ago. I think it was. No, it wasn't the last time I was here. It might have been the first time you guys came. I got up at 5:30, and I walked this community and just prayed through this community. I'm praying through this community, and maybe I walked through some of your houses. And maybe you're the one that called the police. I don't know. I had a black hood on. I was a little worried because it was cold, and I had a black hood on. Walked through the parking lot here. And I just tried to look at this community through the eyes of Jesus. I encourage you to do that, because when you do, you will see that this community is ripe for harvest. There are people in this community, just tell me, I mean, are there people in your circle of influence, in your sphere of influence, where you work, where you live, in your family, that are looking for hope in the wrong places? Are there? Are there? Are there people in your sphere of influence that are discouraged, depressed, going through struggles in their personal life, going through struggles in their family life? We have the answer. It's not us, but we know Jesus, and we can take him to Jesus. As we consider the challenge to reach the Williamsport community for Christ, how we respond when we hear God's voice is pretty important. Will we jump into action and leave the comfortable to embrace the vision God has for the mission of the church, or will we hold back and just see what happens? Just think about Bart, will you? Bart made his decision. His life was never the same. I'm telling you. I know God's about to do something great through NCC. I want every single one of you to be a part of it. I want every single one of you to jump. Would you bow your heads? I just let it take us to prayer. We're going to do a couple things and we're going to get out of here. So the challenge now becomes a question. In just a couple minutes, I'm going to pray over your pastor. But before that happens, I want to pray for the church. Like I said, and that means I'm going to pray for you. You're the church. Your commitment to the advancing mission of this ministry has a tremendous effect on at least the near vision of NCC, the near future of NCC anyways. So we just talked about it. I'm just going to ask these three questions. And would you just, forget about me, and if you don't like me doing that, don't judge me here. Just as you personally engage with Jesus, do you believe God's able to do something incredible in this community? Do you? If you don't, tell the Lord right now. And if you do, would you just acknowledge it to the Lord right now? Would you do that? Guessing every one of us here that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have this desire to keep your eyes on him alone through the problems that come when a ministry engages the community for Christ. I'm guessing everyone in here has that desire, but there's something about commitment, folks. So as you bow before the Lord, those of you that know the Lord, I want to encourage you. Would you commit to it? Would you commit to keeping your eyes on Jesus through all the problems that come? If so, would you acknowledge that to the Lord? And here's the last one, folks. If God's calling you to be part of the ongoing adventure of NCC, if you're committed to answer that call, there's something about commitment, us and Jesus, me and the Lord. That's where their peace comes from. If you're committed to that, would you just acknowledge that before Jesus right now? Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Bryce. Don't do it for your neighbor or your mother or your father or your mate or whatever. If the Lord's calling you to do that, will you commit to it? If he's not, talk to the Lord about that. Lord Jesus, the fields in Williamsport community are ripe for harvest. Fields in Pennsylvania are ripe for harvest. Lord, we've heard from you. Lord, and as we break open those verses around that's you saying to us, and you've said it to people long before, for 2,000 years, I think you've probably been saying, everywhere the fields are ripe for harvest. Lord, we want to stop talking about it. We want to stop doing it. Start doing it. And Lord, as I've walked through these streets, these sidewalks, these neighborhoods, through the city this morning, I'm just amazed at this field, these fields, not just where we are right now, Locksock, but Williamsport and just this stretch of population of people, good people. Some not so good people, poor people, rich people, people that come from all kinds of different backgrounds. Lord, I pray, oh Lord Jesus, I pray your anointing upon this body of believers. Lord Jesus, would you touch them? Help for them to sense a calling from you that's undeniable. And give them a faith like Paul talked about, where they know that they know that they know. They're not part of a church, they're part of a mission. A mission to spread the love of Jesus throughout this community and beyond. Lord, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. There's going to be mistakes. And there's going to be some tough conversations behind closed doors. But I pray that all of us together become a force to be reckoned with in the name of Jesus. Not depending on our own skills, our own whatevers, and something we read on something some other church is doing, but what you've called us to. And help us, Lord, each of us as individuals, each of us as family homes, each of us as groups within the church, each of us as a force within the church to simply find a need and allow you to use us to fill it. And I know that brings you joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is called an installation service. We don't do these all the time, but I just was really jazzed to do this. So, here's what I want to do. I want to pray over Pastor Bryce. And I think we're going to sing a song and we're out of here, right? Is that true? I want Bryce to share, Pastor Bryce to share a little bit too. So if you can keep your words to like half an hour, that would be great. But Bryce and Susie, would you just join me here? And I just simply want to pray over Pastor and Susie. Just come right here, would you? I'm just curious. How many of you, when you were spending time before the Lord, how many of you would you, it's just family here, right? How many of you sensed that the Lord was calling you to commit to this mission moving forward? Those of you that just raised your hands, would you come join me? If you'd like to, I'd like to invite you to come and pray over Pastor with me. Pastor Tim, you're welcome to come as well. Let's just gather around Pastor. Susie, I want you to soak this in, Pastor. Why is everyone on that side? Come on over here. Let's gather around. I know, I guess I'm in the way. That's why. I'm sorry. Come on down. Yeah, I'll get in front. Yeah, you're good. Come on up here. This is good. Okay, come on around here. We got room. Here, come right up in here. Let's pray. Wow, this is great family time, Jesus. So every one of us in this room, those standing here around Pastor and Susie, those of us sitting there, members, those of us that are involved, Lord, we just bow before you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all the days that have led up to this day. So now, Lord, as we look in the windshield, I just pray that you give all of us this sense of hope and encouragement, confidence that only comes from you. So, Lord, we leave Pastor Bryce before you. Thank you for this man of faith. Thank you for all the gifts and abilities you've given to him. Thank you, Lord, for the passion that he has for people to know Jesus. Thank you for the desire that he has for ministry to happen in a way that people see the love of Jesus in unbelievable ways. I thank you in advance, Lord, for the miracles that are going to happen through the ministries in this church, through Pastor, through his family, through those gathered around him, through those sitting in the congregation right now. We give you, Lord, we promise to give you all the praise and honor and glory. It ain't us. We know it. It's the Lord and Savior we serve. And we want to point people directly to you. Anoint Pastor Bryce, Lord. Give him vision. We promise to pray for him. We promise to support vision. We promise to close a door and hash things out sometimes and then open up the door and stand shoulder to shoulder. Give him patience when he needs it. Give him just a sense of release, of passion and vision when we need it. Anoint him, Lord, as your leader for this church. Thank you for Susie. Thank you for the woman of God that you've called and created her to be. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be partners in their relationship with you now becomes a relationship with us. We promise, Lord, to watch over them, to care for them, to hold up their arms when they need them held up, to love them, Lord, in brand new ways for brand new people. Thank you for their family, Lord. I thank you for Ben. Thank you for Brooke. I thank you for Gavin. I thank you, Lord, for their desire to serve you, for their desire to be, and their thrill to be part of a pastor's family. Protect them, Lord. Lord, we promise to support them, to be encouraging them, to be aware of that they're somehow sometimes in a spotlight and sometimes that's not comfortable. And so, Lord, I pray you'd protect them from that. Watch over them as they launch into new schools this year, new activities. I pray you would bring some friends around them that will encourage them. And, Lord, when there are people around them that are discouraging, do a work in their lives. Give them faith and stability and strength and confidence in you. To be a light to them. Watch over all of us, Lord, as we unite together. Such an honor for us to be together in these moments. Lord, we trust you for what's to come. And Lord, we have high expectations because you are able to do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. And Lord, right now as we stand here, we imagine a lot. It's crazy to think that you've got more in store. Oh, Lord, we won't be disappointed. We'll keep our eyes on you for what you have. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, folks.